You give your whole self, soul, spirit, and body. And listen, and keep what God wants to use it in doing for us this morning. We want to welcome you, sir, to the podium. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
First of all, I want to thank the leadership of the house for giving me this opportunity to share the word of God with the people of God. This is not my third time of coming here to this same hall. And each time I have been blessed myself for coming. And I trust that today you will be blessed also in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So thank you very much for having me come here to come and teach the word of God. When I was given the letter of invitation, I want to speak about, I told my guy Elijah, I said, ABC of mentoring. I said, do I look like I know anything about mentoring? I said, I'm sure you can do it. I said, no problem, sir. And so as I was thinking and meditating about it, the number of things came to my mind. That's what I'm talking about this morning. The ABCs of mentoring. And the number of things came to my mind. Let's give all those women is the Miles Monroe is somebody who has spoken at length on this kind of matter. And it was in Enugu recently. That's a few months ago, and I attended his conference. If I don't remember on time, I've printed the things I wrote out there so I can be reading them out to us, but a lot of them are in my head. And then he talked about the concept of leadership, and some of the things I'm going to say, I first heard him say it. Alright? And this morning, I'm going to teach us what really, my own understanding. You know, there was a time between Elijah, what's his name? David. It was a small boy going to fight a giant, so the king dressed him up. And you know, he tried the garment, the armor and everything. He said, I'm not used to this one. Do you understand? Let me do the one I'm used to. So this morning I want to preach the way I'm used to preaching. Amen? I will not give lectures on A, B, and C. I'm just going to talk about what I have come to understand about mentoring. And the way John said it, he said, that which was from the beginning, which our eyes saw, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it. Say, which our hands handled concerning the word of life, that's what we are delivering to you. And I'm going to talk about that again as I'm going on. So, what I'm doing this morning is talking about what I have handled and what I mean, my own personal experience in being taught by people and teaching other people also. And that's what I'm going to share with us this morning on the ABCs of mentoring. For me, it's not an unusual topic. I'm used to talking on faith, I'm used to talking about other, you know, more Bible-sounding topics. The other one is like the concept of the resurrection and stuff like that. But this one I'm mentoring this morning, I'm sure you'll be blessed as I go into using my own garment that I'm used to. So I'll preach more like I'm preaching rather than taking the topic A, B, and C. Please, you understand how I'm making my excuses this morning? Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can we just bow our heads? Let me just say a word of prayer as I begin my teaching for this morning. Father, we thank you for the guy. I play that one. You will address this one. Okay. Father, we thank you for the gathering of your people this morning. Lord, I thank you because your Holy Spirit has been present this morning and your children have been gathered. Lord, as I begin to teach, Lord, give us understanding again by the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, let me speak your word alone. Let the hearts of men perceive only your truth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And let all the glory be given to your most holy name alone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Let me take a few texts of the scriptures to begin what I want to share this morning. And the first one I'll take from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the background of this story, before we read it, let's see why Paul wrote this to Timothy. Timothy was a young man. People have given his age, alright? Some said he was 18. I don't know whether that's true, but I know that's possible, alright? I don't know the exact age that he was. And some said the church he was supposed to pastor, at the time they were up to 20,000 people. Again, I'm quoting what other people said. I wasn't there then, it was many years ago, alright? But the fact, we know one thing for sure, he was a very young man. And if you see the way Paul wrote to him, he was writing to him as a man who was really young. And being that young, Paul put him in charge of such a large assembly. And that's why he was writing this to him, to tell him how to conduct himself in the church where he has found himself, as like we see in this modern days, as a pastor of that church. Paul was writing to him the principles to handle that, even though he was a young man. And among the things he wrote to him, I want just want to read a few verses, about 7 verses, from verse 12 of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now because he was a young man, he said, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." He said in verse 13, "Till I come, give attention to reading," that is the reading of the scripture, "to exhortation, and to doctrine," that is the teaching of the word of God. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate," please notice this verse 15, "meditate on these things," that is the things I have written to you, "give yourself entirely to them." Now when you do this, say your progress will be evident to all. And that said in verse 16, the last one I want to read, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine," that is the teaching of the word of God. "Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Now, there's, like I said, why Paul wrote this was because it was a young man he was dealing with. And the first line I want to bring out a principle that we'll find there. He said, "Let no one despise your youth." Now, he said, there's a principle for making sure nobody despises your youth. And it's not by going around and saying, "Look, I'm the pastor of this church and you are supposed to respect your pastor." Now, do you understand? There are different ways you can exert your authority. You can go out and shout and say, "I am the man in charge, everybody must obey." But Paul said to Timothy, that's not the principle you are going to use. This is the principle you will use. You will be an example. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will be what? An example. That is, by your conduct, you will be an example to other people. And that's how they will not despise your youth. No, this might make you laugh. Now, I came to a little bit about, I came to take up my job as a consultant pathologist in UNTH in the year 2000. That was 9 years ago, but 9 years and a month or two now. And I remember a few months after I arrived, we were organizing a revision course in ONG. That's obstetrics and gynecology. And I was asked to come and give some lectures in pathology for the resident doctors that are coming for the course. And it was a Saturday that I was supposed to teach. On that Saturday, I remember I came wearing a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, and a pair of sandals. And listen, I was teaching 45 doctors. So, now, I don't know how old I look now, but imagine how old I looked. Just subtract like 10 years from what I look right now. That was 9 years ago, too. It was 9 years ago, yes. Just about 9 years from what I look like right now. So I was a bit much younger than this. I've seen my pictures that time. I was leaner than this. I didn't have any gray that time. My head was very full, all over here. Alright? Then, they have receded a bit. And time has passed. So remove 9 years from what I look like right now. So I entered into the hall. It was a full hall, about the size of this place. And the place was full. And all of them looked at me. And they started laughing. You know, they looked at it and said, like, "Is this a lecture?" Now, understand that most of the people coming to teach were professors, people who have been in this profession for a long time. So they looked at me like, "Is this really where you come to give the lecture?" So I walked in and said, "Please, is this a class of gynecology, for revision for gynecologists?" They said, "Yes." I said, "All right." So they looked like, "What are you looking for? Are you the janitor? Are you sweeping the floor? Are you serving us our refreshments? Or what?" This was a Saturday. I was wearing a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, alright? No, not a t-shirt, a big shirt. The shirt was flowing, alright? And I was wearing sandals. And in my typical, there's a way I teach normally. I'm a lecturer in the university, alright? University of Nigeria. be like that. I tell them everything you want to learn is in the book. I'm just supposed to come and explain. So I just walked in and I said, please, where are the writing materials? So they showed them to me and picked them up. And they were still looking like, you can't be serious. What are you looking for? So I walked up to the stage. I said, good morning. I am Dr. Nishina. Then some of them believe that this one actually is serious. Because the outline showed that one Dr. Nishina is going to give 2 hours of lecture on cancers of certain types and how to treat, you know, things like that. So I started teaching. So if I instantly I recognized somebody who I knew from university was still down there. Anyway, I began to give my lecture. After like 15 minutes, everybody settled down properly. Tell you, after 1 hour, they really enjoyed the lecture. At the end of the second hour, somebody came to take over the time. Said, "I beg, like, wait, let's finish." When I finished the lecture, the whole class, without me saying anything, they stood up and started clapping. And when I came in, they looked like this youth. When I finished, they said, "This man no book." Do you understand what I'm going to explain?
Yeah.
And that time, I don't lie, that time I had no book very well because I just finished my postgraduate training. My head was still full, no busting from every corner. With a lot of materials, not too much experience, but plenty of materials. You know? Now, that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. That when you show up, you may look young, but if you are an example in what you say, if you're an example in your conduct, if you're an example in how you show love to the brethren, if your spirit, when the Bible uses the word spirit, you have to understand the context in which it speaks. It's talking about your motivation, your purpose, why you do the things you are doing. You know, let me give an example. The spirit of what a lot of Nigerians do today is corruption, you know. That is, anytime they are doing something, they want to get something. That's what I mean by spirit. But if you see that you are moving, if they see that you are moving because you want to impact something, and then they see your faith and your purity in which you deal with everything, he said, then you will be an example to them. And then they will not look down on the fact that you are young. That also happened to Timothy. What happened to Timothy? Not Timothy, sorry. Solomon, I wanted to say. When Solomon took over as king, he was really a young boy. And everybody looked at him like, what can this boy do? But after he delivered a few judgments, and they saw the wisdom with which he delivered his judgments, instantly they knew that God must be with this our king. I'm talking about the ABCs of mentorship. Now, I'm talking about the ABCs of mentorship. Now, this is what I want to bring out. What is a mentor? Let's start from there. Simply put, now we can use dictionary definition and all of that, but let me put something that's very simple that we can all relate to. Simply put, somebody that we look up to. Somebody that people look up to show us direction. Somebody that has walked a way before us before, and we want to ask him for how to walk that particular path. That's who a mentor is. A mentor is somebody that you look to as an example of faith, because we are believers. So our mentor is somebody that will lead us in the direction of faith. How to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. How to walk in life and be Christ-like in all that we do. That's who a mentor is. Do you understand what I mean by that? Now, not twice in life. You know, people have walked up to me before several times and said that, please, I want you to be my mentor. And when they will say that, I don't know, like, what am I supposed to do as a mentor? Alright? I'll tell you how I answer sometimes, but before I say that, twice in life, people have introduced me to other people and said, this is my mentor, and both times they have surprised me. Now, one of the times it happened, it was a young man, a lawyer. Then he was in law school. And, Professor, what's his name now? Mamsa Professor. Jerry Gara, yes. Jerry Gara was in town and they invited him, he was the chairman of a special program that they had. And so the man came, that evening I had something to do. When I finished where I was preaching, I now came for the meeting. So I came a bit late. So as soon as I entered, they announced my name that I should come to the high table. And seated at the head of the high table was Professor Jerry Gara. So, as I walked up there, the young man who invited me, the president of class one, Kingsley, that's his name, he came out to receive me and walked me over to where Professor Gara was seated. And the man rose up to greet me, very nice man. And so the young man turned to him and said, sir, this is Dr. Vishnu, we call him Pastor Ranking. He's my mentor. And that was the first time, I think, in my life I was hearing that word being used to describe me. So the man gave me a very big hug, shook my hand very well because he knew the young man very well. you know, and then we sat down. And I noted that this man said, oh, that's my mentor. Then once we went for an oath-taking ceremony, doctors just graduated, and I went there to go and join some of my students who are also my friends. So as we were taking pictures, there was one young man who was one of my best students. So he called me to introduce me to his father. To say, ah, daddy, this is Dr. Bishop, the man I told you about, he's my mentor. Ah, you know the interesting part? Both of them never came to me one day and said, sir, please, I want you to be my mentor. Did you notice that? Now, several other times people have come and said, sir, I want you to be my mentor. And I asked them, what am I supposed to do? Do you understand what I mean? Now, over time, this was things that happened over the last many years in my life, and I've had a lot of experiences. And I noticed that as a mentor, I wasn't supposed to do anything. What I mean is this. It's either I'm a mentor, I am not the person. And that one of coming to ask, can you be my mentor, is unnecessary. Do you get my point? It's very, very unnecessary. The young man, the first one who I said introduced me to Professor Gala, is he calls almost in Hawaii, he now practices law in Abuja, and he wants to go to the academic sector. A few weeks ago, now last week, precisely, he called and said, well, how about the appointment to this particular university? He says, I'm really thinking about forgetting it, they're wasting time. I said, no, please, don't do that. And once I said that, you keep quiet and start listening now for the lecture I'm going to give. I told you the beauty of being a lecturer, that's not about money. Look, they can't, if you want to work hard, you can make money, better money elsewhere. That's about the ability, the opportunity you have to impact the life of young people. I discussed, by the time I finished speaking with him, he said, sir, that's why I like to call you. That, you know, I was getting discouraged. Now you have energized me more. It's okay, I'll call the vice chancellor next week and let me see what they are coming up with. Now, I've related with that young man now for maybe the last, that would be since 2003, about 6 years now. And if the man says, this man is my mentor, I understand what he means because of the way we've related. The first day I met his father happens to be one of the most senior judges in Enugu State here. Maybe one of the top two senior judges in Enugu State. So that day, he drove me, I went to Enugu to do something, so I said, okay, let's go, so he drove. So as we came back, I was going to drop him at home. His father was at their gate. And I said, oh, that's my dad. Let's go and greet him. So I walked up to him and to introduce his father. I said, oh, this is Pastor Banky. Ah, the father was so excited. He said, oh, so you are the Banky. Finally, we are meeting. He said, since my son met you, he has become a better Christian. And we have become better Christians in our home also because of the influence. He prayed for me. He thanked me very well. I mean, I was joyful, you know, in my spirit. Now, what am I trying to say there? What made me the young man's mentor is simple. Over the years, I've noticed, if he has to make a serious decision, but the young woman he married, you know why he married her? He had met the woman before and there were some issues, you know, here and there. And then when we were talking, and I told him something about when I met my wife, how I met my wife, and then how we got married. He said, are you serious? Yes, I didn't know what was in his mind. The wife got the way and disappeared. A few days later, he came back and told me that he has got to propose to one young woman and she has like it. And I said, that's very nice. And I knew the lady after they told me about her before. I said, oh, that's good. And I said, well, she, like, did you tell me the truth? I said, what? He said, can I remember some days ago when we were talking? I said, yes. Those things that you said, that was what gave me courage. I just got up and I was encouraged. Courage entered into me and they are married now, but they have a little daughter. Now, what does it mean to be a mentor? That's what we're talking about. It's simple. It means to be an example. Now, let me explain the meaning of the word hypocrite. It will help me explain something. What does it mean to be a hypocrite? Let me start with that. The word hypocrite in Greek actually derived from a Greek word, which in Greek actually means actor. Like, now, if you say, maybe you want to describe it, let's talk about one famous Nigerian. Okay, the man that was kidnapped recently. Kemo. No. They released the chain of people. Or Sophia. So, if a Greek man wants to describe a Sophia, he'll say he's a hypocrite. Now, that's not an insult. That's his profession. The word is actor in Greek. That we know that the man is Kemo or something like that. But not only like somebody say Sophia. Now, Sophia is a real name. Just because he acted the role of Sophia in London, you know that kind of thing. So, that is, his life is the life of an actor. When you see him on the screen, you know that's not what he is in real life. The little woman they call her Mamaji. She's very wicked in every moon. She's an evil soul in every moon. But I'm sure in real life, she may not be like that. There was one man who acted, I think Christopher Reeve, who acted Dracula. Dracula was one very famous series of horror movies. And I heard that once, the man was in a store. And the young boy saw him and started crying and ran to go and meet the mother. Why? Because he just saw Dracula. He told the man was going to sprout teeth and suck his blood. That's who an actor is. That is, what he is on the screen or on the stage is not what he is in real life. So when the Bible wanted to describe in Christianity, those who are one thing in church and another thing at home, they call them actors. And that's where the word hypocrite came from. Hypocrite is the Greek word for an actor. Now, who's an actor, therefore, is somebody, like we said, who is one thing outside, but really inside is another thing. When we're talking about being a mentor, it's not about being, all right, outwardly, acting. It's not about, it's not about doing some things. It's not about a series of actions that one takes. It is about being something. That's what I want to say. It's not about acting. Do you understand? When I was serving, I served in 1992-93 in Nigeria Army, called Mechanized Battalion in Sati. That's in Taraba State. There was one sergeant in our barracks that time. He was in our clinic. We called the place the MIR, Medical Inspection Room. Let me just make his name Sergeant G, alright? Sergeant G used to attend the ballet. It's me and his wife. But you can be sure that man did not believe in the God that he served there. I don't care how many times he went to church. I want you to annoy me about Sergeant G. Was that. In fact, there are times I want to shout on him like, Sergeant, will you shut up and get away from there? But I couldn't because I respected my elders. But in my heart, I will be punching him and shooting him and telling him to shut up. But outwardly, I will just be smiling. Why? Because if we ever get to a discussion on Christianity, he was always on my side. And that thing used to annoy me. I wanted him to be my opponent so that we could argue. Anything I said will be on my side. There's a child of God, and I'll be looking at this side. Why? Because he was a nurse, I think. But he was trained a bit in paramedical practice. And all the abortions they did, they were as kids. He will use the equipment in our hospital at night when I'm not there. He was doing it before I came. It's not, I didn't go to the hospital. I was a youth copper doctor, come and work here. During the day, I was in charge. I gave all the instructions, it was military setting, all my orders were carried out to the letter. At night, Sanji will come back, open the doors, and start his own nocturnal practice. The annoying part was that during the day, Sanji was always on my side. And that was what used to annoy me. That was when I understood why somebody was following Paul around. I said, these are the servants of God who have come. Paul said, what nonsense is this? Look at this demon testifying. So he cast out the devil out of the girl. I wish I could cast out the devil out of my but I could not. The man was a horror actor. His real life was something else. No matter the principle of mentoring you teach him, he can never mentor anybody because he doesn't believe in what you are saying. What is the number one principle, therefore, of mentoring? It is becoming, not just doing. Do you understand what I mean? That is becoming something. You know, after Paul wrote to Timothy, I wanted to read all of that to bring an issue. How was Timothy supposed to become an example to the believers? What was he going to use as his instrument? Paul said it like this. I want to highlight a few things. In verse 13, he said, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Then you notice something he said in verse 15. He said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That way your progress will be evidence to all. Now, what does that mean? Like I mentioned earlier, I teach the university. And one of the things I always tell my students, I say, you're not in school to pass exams. Not at all. This university was not set up to help you pass exams. You came to school, your father is paying fees. The university was set up so that you might learn. Learning is the aim. I said, you're not supposed to structure your life so that you try and pass. No, you're supposed to structure your life to learn. When you will have learned, then passing will come to you automatically. That the exam is a test of whether you learned or you did not learn. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. That don't try and pass. No, try and learn. If you learn, you will pass automatically. It's not possible that you will now fail when you have learned. But what the students tell you a lot of times, they think it's about passing. So you have maybe 16 weeks in a semester. The man plays 12 weeks or 13 weeks. In the last 3 weeks, he starts trying to practice so that he might pass. Meanwhile, you were not sent here to pass. If you end up passing, I had a colleague like that who ended up passing without learning. It's possible. You can learn the tricks of the exam. This was postgraduate. He learned the tricks. He knew how to crash. He would go for some revision courses and all of that. He knew that when they do revision courses, they tend to reflect off of spot. And then there are some, like our practicals, there's a set kind of practicals they will set. The man will exercise himself. Eventually, then he may have gone for the exam one of those times in which the examiners were tired of feeling people. You know, it happens like that. They're just frustrated. So maybe then he passed. Except that he didn't learn properly. Then one day, he wanted to go for a postgraduate course in America. They came back to the same institution to come and meet my chief there. Please, I want to learn some things. And he said, look at this now. Yes, you passed, but you did not learn. And Americans, you know the Americans are, they don't care about the certificate you carry and all of that. They want to see what you can do. Is that American? They can give you right there, do it, let me see. He now went back and started trying to learn. What am I saying? Christianity, being a mentor, is to first become something ourselves. Not trying to learn the principles of teaching other people. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. We're not trying to learn how to teach other people. If we become, and that's what Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, take heed in verse 16, unto yourself. If you take care of yourself, then you will be converted, alright? You will be converted to something, and then automatically you will become an example to other people. That's what it is. In faith, you know, there's something I say when I preach. I say most Christians go for prayer meetings, but they don't pray. And what does that mean? I said, we can go all night. Since I know who will pray, you know, we can have 1,000 people gathered. Say, brother, let us pray for our nation. And we all gather. And they say, it's a whole night prayer. We start. Let us rebuke the devil. We rebuke the devil. The devil over the airways, then over the seas near Lagos. We do all of that all night. And next morning, as soon as we leave, then you buy a newspaper. And you hear that they kidnap somebody. You buy a newspaper and say, Charles Obudu is gone to the governor. Ah, you buy another newspaper. You know, as I even say, this country is useless. In fact, this country is dead. I don't know, these leaders, they are just going to ruin all of us. And as God said, hey, he just came from one whole night of prayer. He did not pray. I was in for one music in my car a few days ago. The man said, people don't listen. They say that when they are praying, they are actually complaining. They don't pray. That they come there to complain and complain and complain. By the time they leave the place, they are still complaining. Are you getting my point? They are not of faith. Therefore, their prayers don't count. Let me say it again. If you are like that, all the prayer you claim to pray for the nation has not been counted. I'm sorry. But that's a matter of fact. You can't finish praying and then say, this country is useless. You have with your own mouth annulled all the prayer that you prayed. I just know that this company is not going forward. I'm sorry for my children. How am I supposed to respond? You say, it's simple. You say, why do the heathen rage? They will soon get tired. In Jesus' name, we are going somewhere. Despite all their antics, we will see prosper whether they like it or not. In fact, there's one I always say, I say, when you see plenty of trouble, I said, anytime Jesus will cast out demons, they always used to fight. So it's a sign of the devil going out. The Bible says that the devil tear him, like we used to say, you know, rent him sore, but he still left. You see, just don't look at the devil like you, I said, come out. Out we are going. There's nothing else you can do. The devil will just kill peace in the process, but it's going. It happens. So that's how we're supposed to respond. What am I saying? The first thing we do is that we become something. If you read the book of Acts chapter 20, let me open there, I'll just quote it, verse 28. When Paul was departing from Ephesus, the same thing he told the elders, he said, take heed, he said, therefore, take heed to yourselves. That's the first thing you do. And to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, what was this trying to explain? The principle I want to bring out from there is that these are supposed to be the elders of the pastors of the church. He now said to them, the first thing you do is to take heed, not to the church, but to what? To yourselves. He said, first you take heed to yourself. What is the ABC of mentoring? It's simple. It is, I first become something, and automatically I am an example. But this is a men's conference. It said, reposition for exploits. And that's what I want to explain. If you see, there's one scripture I'll read, and I'll pass the rest of my comments, and I'll close. Romans chapter 12. Now, I learned something many years ago from Miles Monroe. I had this cassette for a very long time, a videotape, and then, I don't know, one of my friends, I lent it to him, he never returned it. He talked about motivating men to take their place in life. That's what he explained. And some of the things I learned, it was many years ago, especially from 1993, that I learned that in 94, that I got the tape. Let me read this scripture and I'll say some of the things I want to say based on a lot of them, based on what I learned from God, Miles Monroe taught in that particular message titled Motivating Men to Take Their Place in Life. Now let's read Romans chapter 12. It said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I'm using the King James Version. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Remember I'm talking about becoming something. Then do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the transformation is what I want to talk about. He said it comes by the renewing of minds. And what is mind? If you look at the way the Bible, the Greek talks about the word mind here. Mind talks about perspective. Do you understand my point? How you see and interpret things. Let me quickly explain that. Now, I'm from Ondo State. Alright? My father was born in Owo. I was also born in Owo. Alright? I married a woman from Delta State. And I live in Enugu State. And essentially my children were born here. Now, this is Nigeria. When I was coming to Enugu then, people said, why are you going to this? I said, what's wrong with going to this? This is Nigeria. Driver, listen. I said, not against me. It's not possible. I said, money is in Lagos. I said, wait, prosperity is anywhere I go. Blessings are commanded. He said, from there, talking about Mount Hermon, God commanded the blessings. Blessings don't go by chance. They go by commandment. If God doesn't command a blessing to you, you can be in America and you'll be poor. And there are a lot of poor Americans who live on the streets. I have seen naked, crazy people on the streets in America. So, that's not a joke. I didn't know it was possible. But except that I saw it. I have seen people begging. The day a white woman walked up to me to beg for money, it pains me. I didn't know she was begging. I would have given her money to go on record. She said, do you happen to have some change? I actually thought that God was about to enter a bus and that was going to give to me. I thought you had your ticket to give me the exact amount of money that you had. It was after I left. I said, that woman was begging. He paid $1, give her $10 so that I can get back home and tell the story. That gave the white woman $10. On the streets in America. Now, what I say that if God doesn't command blessings towards you, he has no blessing. You can be in the center where you are mining up, and they will take it from you and you won't get anything. I always tell the people, I feel like telling them, good enough, my wife, my in-laws are from Niger Delta. As I must say, you shouldn't pray for derivation. Rather go and pray for derivation first, because except God gives it to you, you can't take it. And this is not really the history of mankind. If something can be your own, somebody has to take it from you, you can't do anything. God commanded that Esau will serve Jacob. So, you see, these things are spiritual. Or as I tell you that, don't tell me that blessing is somewhere. Blessing is the center of the will of God for my life. If I locate that place, I will discover blessing. I said, anywhere I go in the world,